So we reached the halfway point. We started with the first one, the Child of the Promise. We did the last one, the Child of Revival, just to keep you on your toes. We didn't do them in order. And now we're going to do the third one, or the second one. So we'll get to miracles, but we're leaving that for last. The best is yet to come. So we're starting the first of three on healing. Alan will speak next week. Shona Sterling will speak on the third one. A child of healing. A child of healing. And, you know, the Lord gives me different gifts of healing. It's interesting that the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians, the only one that's in the plural is healing. It's the gift of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of several other things, but it says the gifts of healing. And so healing comes in many different ways. And I think in some ways, as a church here in White Inch, we have stepped into and begun to fulfill that word of being a child of healing. Who knows that when we opened healing rooms in 2004, where our first healing rooms were? So there was actually two we opened together. One was in Parney Street in Merchant City, in the city centre, and the other was here in White Inch, in a little shop on Dumbarton Road. And it lasted a long time, moving from place to place, a little bit round by inch. And so, you know, many people came and experienced some very powerful healings, physically and emotionally in other ways, through that ministry. Also, healing of the heart, the ministry that's, again, had different names around it over the time. But again, a ministry that many people have come to by inch and experienced powerful healing and transformation in their lives. So, In many ways, we have been a child of healing. And we give thanks to God for that. But we're never content to stop there. Because we don't want to just be a child. We want to grow up into the full stature of the maturity of Christ. So we want to go beyond child and into more. Yet we all still remain children of God. And so we want to take hold of more. God has more for us. We've tasted and we've seen. I hope when we taste that the Lord is good. And that increases our appetite for more. There is more to come. And the text I want to take for us this morning from Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Luke 5 and verse 17. It's within the passage about Jesus healing the paralyzed man. You know the story well. The man's brought by his friends. He's lowered through the roof. And so we'll reflect a little bit to this as we go down. But really just want to take this first verse. Verse 17 says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judah, and Jerusalem." And then it makes this startling phrase. I've thought long and hard and meditated and pondered and prayed on this expression that Luke uses here, why he uses it. This phrase that's used, "and the power of the Lord was present to heal." And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, Jesus went around healing people in all sorts of places. It says he went and great crowds came to him, and he healed them all. There are times where he heals clear individuals. He heals the blind, he heals the lame, he heals the leper, he heals many different people. There are one or two occasions where we find Jesus meeting real resistance that meant healing did not flow in the same way. When he goes to his hometown, he could do no mighty works there except heal a few sick people. I don't think that was all in his hometown. And that was because of their unbelief. In Bethsaida, he speaks a difficult word over Bethsaida and Chorazin, these two towns, and he says, "Woe to you! If the miracles done in you had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they'd have turned and believed." And there was a resistance in Bethsaida because he takes a blind man and he takes him out of the town in order to bring the healing miracle to the man. So Jesus did meet places of resistance, but he did heal in many places he went. But Luke remarks here, it's kind of like a very specific remark, that on this occasion there was something remarkable, something to remark on, that the power of the Lord was present in, it seems, a special kind of way that he would remark on that. Just the presence of the Lord that brings healing. I was traveling back from London once on the train and just sitting reading a book, minding my own business, and there was a spare seat beside me, and a lady came and she asked if the seat was free, and she sat there and she had a wee look at the book I was reading, which was about spiritual authority, and then she turned to me and says, I think I know you, she says. And it turned out she did, and the story was this. We had had a healing room kind of prayer day once. We'd fasted and prayed through the day, and then we came to meet together at night and pray and kind of break the fast. And we met at the Hurlet, a place that a friend of ours had his kind of training center and lived there. And we met in a place there, and there was quite a number of us there that evening. And this woman and her daughter had turned up at this meeting. Somebody had told them about it. Her daughter had been suffering terribly from an ME type condition. She was barely able to function, just a young woman in her early 20s, barely able to function at all. And she got her daughter on that night, and during the evening, she says this is what happened. Her daughter walked across the room and stood by a kind of bit of the wall where we'd been writing up some scriptures and prophetic promises and prayer requests and things. And as she stood there, she just felt the presence of the Lord. Nobody spoke to her, nobody prayed for her, nobody laid hands on her. Just the presence of the Lord was there. And something happened to her. And this woman had gone on the train down in Lancashire somewhere, having just gone to visit her daughter, who now lived down there, who was now married, and who was now working in her kind of dream job. Fully fit, fully healed, fully well, fully functioning. The power of the Lord was present. You see, I think we find at times there are pockets where the power of the Lord seems very present to heal and more than that. And here's my aim, my ambition in the Lord is this. We want to get these pockets to be more than pockets. We want to get these rare instances to become more than rare instances. We want to expand these things so we see the power of the Lord made greater and more fully evident throughout the earth. That again and again we would see remarkable things. You know, it says in Scripture sometimes that people say, we have seen remarkable things today. And as the battle intensifies for the truth of the gospel, as the battle intensifies in our world for the truth of God, it's so important, I believe, that we see these places of his presence. That manifest presence, not the kind of, oh, God's everywhere kind of thing, but real manifest presence of the Lord, that we see these expanded and growing. And Luke highlights this here in verse 17. And what's the key to that? I think there's a key in the previous verse. Never mind verses and little headings in your Bible, because in the original, all just flowed as one story. And so, just prior to then, what we have is verse 16, it says this. So he himself, Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And then he goes to a certain place at a certain time, and the power of the Lord is present to heal. I think there's a definite correlation. If you're not convinced, let's look into the next chapter, chapter 6. And on this occasion, in verse 12, it says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. These are accounts of extraordinary prayer within the life of Jesus. It doesn't say he, once in a blue moon, he went into the wilderness to pray. It says he often withdrew to the lonely places, to the wilderness places to pray. It was a habit of his life. It says in this verse that he went up on the mountainside and just thought, I'll take a few minutes to pray, and then I'll get back down and get some sleep. No, it says that he spent the whole night praying to God. This is extraordinary prayer in the life of Jesus. And so what happens? He prays all night. He calls himself his disciples. He chooses the 12 that he wants. And as the passage goes down, it says that then the crowds came to him. And verse 19 remarks this. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Again, I believe Luke is highlighting something that is of note, that is of a remarkable distinction, that Jesus wasn't just doing things, there was a flow of power. Now, power did come out from him when people touched him on other occasions, but I think it's saying that a whole multitude comes and tries, because something's going on. I don't know if you've been in places and times and meetings where you know something is going on. You've been there? Some of you have, some of you may not. Sometimes you go to things and you think, well, it's just, you know, maybe the praise is good, yeah. guy spoke was quite funny or something. You know, it's all right. But there's other times you go to things and you think, God is manifestly present in this place. And when I sense that, I'm like, I am so glad I'm here. And there's times you sense that this power of the Spirit is just being released. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to get hands laid on me when that's happening. I'm going to get into that. I'm jumping into that river. Because I want anything that river's given. And I believe that God wants us to be a people where the power of the Lord is present in that sort of way to heal. Where power can flow without hindrance. How are we doing? We've got this one. Okay, first, this is the first one. I want to just give kind of four statements. One of them's really important because I just believe God wants to really do something this morning among us. So when we get to number three, pay really close attention. This is the first one. Still pay attention now as well, but extra attention. So basically healing. We're talking about healing. Healing is part of our salvation. The word sozo. It includes, both sozo means salvation, but it includes healing, it includes deliverance, it includes freedom. So healing is part of our salvation where we get freedom, we get restoration and wholeness. There's all types of healing. It is a past, a present, and a future aspect because the Bible speaks about you have been saved, you are being saved, or you are saved, and you will be saved. It's been both past, present, and future. And healing and the wholeness that God is doing has a past element, it has a present element, and there's still a future element to come. We live in a kingdom, the kingdom of God, that is both now and not yet. But there's a thing about that statement, the now and not yet. There's a thing about it, you see, when we're not seeing God at work, we can go, ah, well, it's not yet. There's so much not yet. And we can get into delaying everything into another day, into a future day. But while we haven't seen the fullness of the kingdom yet, here's the thing with the now and not yet, we want more of the now and less of the not yet. Come on. We don't want to live in all but one day. We want to pull more of the not yet into the now. We want to see God now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day to get hold of things in the kingdom and say, now, we want to see this now. Number two. Next one, Danny. God is not the author of sickness. God does not make us sick. God is not the author of sickness. Sickness and disease. And if you put a little hyphen in between the S and the E of disease, you kind of see something of what the word means. Dis-ease. God is not the author of sickness. Sickness and disease is a consequence of brokenness. It's a consequence of the brokenness of relationship between humankind and God. When that brokenness came into that relationship, then sickness and disease was given avenue to come in. It's a consequence of brokenness of relationship with God. It's a consequence of, there's a brokenness in creation. The Bible says that creation groans. It groans with earthquakes and tidal waves and other things that are happening. I believe the earth is groaning more than ever because relationship has been broken. What does the Bible groan for, Paul says in Romans 8? For the revelation of the sons of God. For the revelation of God's children, of God's sons and daughters, in the fullness of who they really are. When we can live in that as a church, we bring the reign and rule of God upon the earth, and creation ceases to groan quite so much. It's groaning, waiting on us, bringing forth the life-giving authority of Jesus' reign upon the earth. That's a big thing, isn't it? But hey, it's what we're called to. It's what simple people like you and I are called to be part of. But he gives us a grace. He gives us a wisdom. He gives us his Spirit. Sickness and disease come because of a brokenness of community, of relationships, of family, and a brokenness of self. God wants to heal that brokenness. First, restoring relationship with himself. Healing the brokenness of our relationships, our community, of ourself, of our world, of everything, so that he can bring healing to us. Here's the third one. Here is the third one. Yeah, this is the one. Do you notice I put a little hyphen in a word there as well? To bring out something of meaning that I think is really important to understand. Jesus has authority to heal. We see that everywhere in Scripture. He talks about all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He gives to his disciples authority and power to go and heal the sick. Jesus clearly has authority. We see it in this passage. Because he says to the paralyzed man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." That really wound up the Pharisees and teachers of the law that are all sitting watching, didn't it? And they question and they get all angry. And he says, which is easier, to say that? But you might know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and a consequence of forgiving those sins, to say to the man, get up, rise up, and walk. Jesus has authority. Now, what does that word mean, authority? Authority comes from the idea of an author, somebody who writes something. And Jesus is the author of our salvation. That means he's the originator of it. He has written it. He is the author of our salvation and the author of our faith, it says in Hebrews 12. In Acts 3:15, it says that Jesus is the author of life. Some translations say the Prince of Life, but the idea is an originator, a ruler, a leader, but an author really is at the heart of what that word means. In other words, Jesus has written the code. He's written what life is. And when Jesus breaks into your life, now hear this, when he breaks in with his authority into your life, he rewrites your story. And some of you have experienced this stuff, where Jesus comes because you didn't have a great story. One of the questions that we've used in Kingdom Mentoring, the questions that God asked people in the Bible, one of them was this, where he said to Hagar, where have you come from? And where are you going? And some folk have come from very good places with great resource into life and good things. It's usually done a bit of damage along the way. Nobody's perfect. But others have come from very messed up places. Where have you come from? But where you're going doesn't have to be in a direct line from where you've come from. It's not set. Where have you come from? I've come from this and it's been pretty awful and really messed me up bad. But hey, I've come to this point, I've met Jesus. Now where am I going? Now where am I going? You don't have to go what was set from your upbringing. You don't have to go for what was set even from the DNA that has been passed into your body, into your system. Because when you meet Jesus, redirection comes into your life. Who's glad they met Jesus? Come on! And Jesus comes to rewrite your story. And there are those of you here this morning who can testify to greatly rewritten stories. Greatly rewritten stories. Because Jesus came in and he said, my friend, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. And the sins against you no longer have power to hold and direct you into a destiny that I say is not yours. I'm going to rewrite your story. I'm going to write a whole new load of chapters. And we're going to give it a whole new ending. Jesus wants to write some new chapters into your life. He wants to come and rewrite your story now. He wants to come and take the bit that's been there and written and say, okay, so that all did happen, but we're going to just turn it all around and I'm going to change the script. And you're going somewhere very, 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 very different. But you've got to believe him. You've got to trust him. You've got to let him come in and actually write into you. Write into you. He rewrites our story and he rewrites our code. I don't know anything much about computer programming and stuff, but you know, codes are written in and that sets something. You come and you rewrite the code. And our DNA is like a code. Jesus can come in and he can actually rewrite our DNA code. So generational patterns, generational diseases, generational tendencies towards this, that, and the next thing do not have to rule over you because you've met Jesus. And he can rewrite that within to the very framework of who you are, the very nature of your brain, your cells, everything. Jesus can rewrite the code of your life. And when he brings authority into you, he wants to rewrite some stuff in you today. He wants to rewrite some stuff in your story. He wants to rewrite some stuff in the physical makeup of your body. That's how healing can come to some of you today. Let the authority of Jesus break through. He writes because he's an author. So he writes words. His word. He sent forth his word, it says in Psalm 107. He sent forth his word and healed me. As a man came to Jesus once, he said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. And you know, in Greek, there's two words used in the Bible for it. The New Testament word. There's logos, which kind of means a written word usually, and rhema, which is a kind of prophetic spoken word. And when a man says to Jesus, just say the word, it's logos. Just say the written word. Say that which will be written into my servant's life, and he will be healed. Jesus wants to speak into you, but he wants to not just speak a word that you hear. He wants to speak a word that's going to write something into the very fabric of your being. Next slide. So healing comes through Jesus' accomplishment. He's done it. He's done it all. He's done it all on the cross. He's done his part. But we are commissioned to release healing on the earth. That's why Jesus in Luke 9, Luke 10, gives a bunch of disciples, the 12 at first, then 70 others, and he gives to them power and authority that they might go and do the business. Speak the kingdom of God, proclaim the kingdom of God, and heal the sick. We announce good news, and we are to release healing on the earth. Why aren't more people healed today? Because God doesn't want to heal? No, because the church isn't releasing healing as much as we could be doing. It's not his job to do it anymore. He's done his part. It's our job. We've really got to get hold of that one. It's our job to release his healing on the earth. Don't wait on God to do it because he's waiting on us to do it. He says, I've already given. I've transferred that authority to you. You now start speaking out and rewriting things into people's lives. And so, just getting back to being a people, a place where the power of the Lord, the manifest presence of God, that outpouring of his Spirit causes healing to flow among and through us. Just moving on to the next one, Daddy. Just three key factors. Number one, the faith factor. Number one is the faith factor. Number two, the unity factor and the understanding factor. Right? There's a lot we can say about healing, but I think it comes down, these three are key things. What blocks healing more than anything? Unbelief or lack of faith, yeah. So that Jesus could do no miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief and their lack of faith. It's the only thing that really hinders the work of God. It's not the only thing, it's the main thing. Unbelief. But that's unbelief within the body. It's not unbelief out there. You see, the unbelief out there has an effect on the whole society, but it doesn't affect the power of Jesus being loosed. Jesus was there in that house on that certain day in Luke 5:17. And he's there with unbelief. He's there with skepticism, mockers and scoffers among the religious rulers. But that did not hinder that paralyzed man getting up, picking up his stretcher and marching on out of the house. Jesus is not hindered by the skepticism of the world, but he's hindered by skepticism in his church. So we're going to rise up in faith. Number two, the unity factor, the relational one. What again can hinder healing in the body is disunity. Disunity in the body. You see, if you get something happens to you and you need to rest for your body to heal up because of that natural process of healing, if other parts of your body, in a sense, are not complying with that and getting up and being busy and running about, you don't heal the same. If your whole body together says, yeah, let's rest, let's let healing occur, the whole body's together. And disunity among God's people will hinder healing flowing among God's people. And the third one, the understanding factor, where we don't understand the ways of God, the ways in which he brings healing. And they are many and they are varied. If we don't have understanding of that, we often miss where we need to go in releasing healing into people's lives. And we see in Jesus, he operates in all of these. He's complete faith. Faith in his Father, faith in his Word. Faith that he speaks, it will happen. He's in complete unity with the others of the Godhead. The Father, Son, and Spirit are in complete unity. And he is full understanding. And so how do we create, just the final slides going to the next one, Daddy. The final, how do we do this? How do we create and steward. It's not just create it, but we have to keep it. We have to steward it because we don't want this just to be a one-off thing. We want to be a people. We want to be a people among whom it is said now and tomorrow and next week and next year and beyond, the power of the Lord is present. The power of the Lord. Stuff happens among the church at White Inch because the power of the Lord is present. It's not about a place. Certainly isn't a holy place where we meet, is it? And that doesn't matter because we're not Old Testament people, we're New Testament people. The Spirit's with us, we are the temple. So whether it's the Ian's favourite building around in South Street, or whether it's in this here, or whether it's in your home, or whether it's wherever you are, but wherever we are as his people, the power of the Lord would be present. So how is that going to come? That presence and immediacy of the Lord to heal. Number one, we need to be a people together of expectant faith based on God's word. We don't need to manufacture or make anything up in all this because the word is so blatantly clear about Jesus' authority to heal and the fact that he gives that to his disciples, to his followers, to us, to the church. It's clear that we are given authority to bind and to loose. And it's what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven, or it has been loosed in heaven, and comes forth upon the earth. We need an expected faith just simply based on the word of God. It's all there. It's all there in his words. But we need that expected faith corporately. Not just one or two of us believing, but together believing. Corporate faith and expected faith among us. Secondly, the unity one. We need to be one in heart and one in mind. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean you agree on absolutely everything. That's not going to happen because we all see a lot of things differently. But the main thing really is the main thing. We've one heart. Our heart is after Jesus. Our mind is I want to have the mind of Christ. And Paul says in Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. It's not something we have to try and find somewhere. We have it. We just need to embrace it. And I believe that even though we may see certain things differently, if we are people of a humility of heart that seek the Lord, that love Jesus with all our heart, that want to see Jesus glorified, then that is the unity of mind and heart that God is after in us. And where grace and forgiveness flow, where loving and preferring one another is our way, that unity will just make the flow of his Spirit, of his healing, of his transforming power, just go with an ease. And then the third one, understanding. Understanding. Growing in understanding of the things of God. Growing in understanding of the ways of God. Ask faith-building questions. You see, there's two lots of questions. We see there's a question to the Pharisees. Who does he think he is? Who is he having saying he forgives sins? You know, that's the question that is a negative, a skeptical, a fault-finding question. People ask a lot of those. But we need to be people of a different spirit. And I encourage you, ask lots of questions. But ask questions that will lead to a building of faith. Ask questions that are pursuing greater understanding and knowledge in the Lord. And as we grow in that understanding, we understand that sometimes healing comes immediately. Sometimes healing comes because it's just a case of release. Sometimes we need to get underneath things. Sometimes we need to deal with root things. And if we leave undone, sickness just comes back again. Paralyzed man. Why is he paralyzed? It doesn't actually tell us why he's paralyzed, but what it does tell us is Jesus' first words to him were, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He didn't say that to everybody. In fact, he said that to very few. Jesus did all sorts of different things with all sorts of different people. Because there was different, maybe underlying reasons and causes in different situations. We don't get formulas. We don't get a little handbook that tells us this is the model. This is exactly what you do every time. Yet this wisdom that we gain will always need to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding who leads us. Let's grow as a people. Let's be a people. Let's choose to be a people who believe the word of God and let an expectant faith rise up within us. Not based on what we've not seen, but based on what Jesus says is possible. Encouraged by what we have seen and going for more. Let's be a people of one heart and mind because we just so love Jesus. It's him we're lifting high. It's Him we want to see glorified. And let's be a people who've grown an understanding with the Holy Spirit of the ways and the purposes of God, that we would walk with Him, led in that, that we would bring great healing, deliverance, freedom, and wholeness to many people. Let's stand. I really believe today, I'm expectant in faith, that Jesus is here to rewrite some stuff in lives today. I believe He's here in His authority to rewrite some stories, to rewrite something into the very core and fabric of your physical beings. I believe He's here to rewrite into some brain chemistry today. So let's open our hearts wide and receive what He has. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We bring and make known the things of Christ to us. So would you just come afresh, Holy Spirit, I pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the author of life. You are the author of life. And I pray and release today your writing of life into each and every one of us. Into physical bodies today, physical ailments, into generational ailments. I speak and release a rewriting of that code, a rewriting of generational code today in Jesus' name. We break off what your daddy had and what your granny had and what the great-grandpa had. We break it off. It's not yours. And we rewrite that code in Jesus' name. Let it be rewritten according to the Word of God. Father, I want to pray for brains today. Always need more brains. Lord, I pray for brains. I pray for brain chemistry today that is out of sync with your original intention. I pray for a brain chemistry that has been affected by generational things, by chemical things, by medical things, or by traumas and things of life. I pray now for a rewriting into the brain framework in the name of Jesus. I release that right now. Chemical reactions in the brain rewrite into the order of God's fullness of life in Jesus' name. Into the whole areas of physical healing that are needed in people's bodies today. I release the authority of Jesus, the author of Jesus, the authoring of His word to you, that He sends forth His word to heal. And I speak that word, may that word be written into your physical being today in the name of Jesus. I pray a release of rewriting of stories today. A rewriting of life stories. You're not destined to become a product of your past. We break that off you in Jesus' name. I release a rewriting of stories. I release a rewriting from the damage of past history. And that Jesus will release new chapters. For some of you, I believe He's got loads of new chapters. Loads of new chapters that are really good. And I believe for some of you, you know, you've not had a hugely troubled past. You've not had that really bad story. But still, He's rewriting chapters in you now because He's saying there's a greatness in what I'm taking you to that's beyond what you thought. He wants to rewrite at a higher level than you thought was possible. And I release that into people today, a rewriting of your story, a rewriting of the future chapters now. Jesus, and I pray a release of vision and of revelation. mention that, that some of you begin to have visions and dreams where you see something of those chapters. You see chapter headings appearing before you. Chapter headings appearing before you of what God is calling you into, what Jesus is writing for your future, what he's writing and calling you up into. Release those chapter headings, Lord, and then begin to release the fullness of the print. Let it come. Let it come. Whoa, shut up. And release it on us as a church, Father. I pray for our church's story, for this church here in White Edge, for this local community of faith. Father, I pray that you will bring a rewriting. You'll write chapters of greatness for your kingdom into this church. It's kind of like somebody who's not a very good writer writing some stuff, and then a great author comes and rewrites some of the chapters, and they suddenly look amazing. And it's kind of like we've been writing something of our own as a church, and Jesus just comes and says, let me write a bit, because my writing's just so amazing. And just let Jesus write something new into us now. In his mighty name. So just receive these things. There's many things there for you to take hold of. Many things. Just receive now in the Spirit. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive. Receive. I'm just going to respond to a little bit of worship. We might have time in a few moments just to hear from Derek and from Jinty about what they're doing. Going to get the prayer ministry team to come down, and we'll find a bit of space down here as well. So if you'd like someone specifically to pray with you, then the folks here will be very happy to do that. So let's just keep receiving. Open our hearts wide. Open our hearts wide to everything he's giving. Everything he's rewriting into us today. And let's give him praise. Let's give him thanks. Let's worship his holy name.